The ratio of host genetics to microorganism genetics is often greater than 9 to 1. The bacteria are just totally drowned out by the salmon.
So if 99% of your data is just fish tissue interfering with your signal, how did the researchers actually isolate the bacteria to build this functional atlas?
Well, they used a massive, multifaceted approach. First, they cultured over 100 isolates from Norwegian farmed fish. But to bypass that 9-to-1 host contamination problem for the unculturable species, they used advanced fluorescent cell sorting.
Oh, wow. So they physically separate the cells before sequencing.
Exactly. They use a fluorescent dye that binds to the bacterial genomes, and then they run it through a machine that uses static electricity to physically pull the glowing microorganisms into a separate collection tube.
A whole new era of communication in the global aquaculture industry is coming. Now you have the brightest minds in aquaculture right in your pocket. And what's best, you can listen to all of them while driving to a farm, traveling, or running errands. It's never been this good, and it's never been this simple. Welcome to the Aquaculture Podcast Show, the first AI-based podcast in aquaculture, where you'll find cutting-edge insights in everything that's working in aquaculture, nutrition, health, and production. Inspired by the 2024 article titled, Genomic and Functional Characterization of the Atlantic Salmon Gut Microbiome in Relation to Nutrition and Health, by Vera Ponce de Leon A. Henson, T. Hoetzinger, M. et al.
You know, every time we talk about scaling up commercial Atlantic salmon production, we tend to obsess over feed conversion and total yield. But if you look inside the digestive tract of those fish, you're actually looking at a completely different biological engine.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for decades, that gut ecosystem has been treated like this black box. We knew there were microorganisms in there performing essential functions, but actually mapping out their exact jobs was just, well, a massive technical hurdle.
Right. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're unpacking the machinery that drives this critical part of the global food system. Our roadmap is the 2024 study, Genomic and Functional Characterization of the Atlantic Salmon Gut Microbiome in Relation to Nutrition and Health, by Arturo Vera Ponce de Leon and colleagues.
And what Vera Ponce de Leon and his team accomplished here is really monumental. They created the Salmon Microbial Genome Atlas. They didn't just study the fish. They actually mapped the complete genetic blueprints of the specific bacteria living in the gut.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads. We elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because our mission today is to explore how this atlas helps us secure commercial aquaculture for the future. I mean, we're finally moving past just identifying these microorganisms to understanding what they actually do on a chemical level.
Yeah, and for you listening, as we push to double global seafood output by 2050, optimizing that path from feed to fish is essential for the future of big agriculture.
And the sustainability bottleneck is very real right now, right?
Yeah.
We're pivoting toward highly sustainable commercial feeds, like insect meals from black soldier fly larvae or concentrated plant proteins.
Exactly. But you can't just introduce a complex novel fiber to a salmon and expect its gut to magically extract the nutrients.
Yeah, you need the gut microorganisms to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But the historical research methods we used, like those standard marker gene surveys, they were heavily limited.
Very limited. You'd get a genetic barcode, but that was it.
So the old method is basically like having a guest list for a massive banquet,
right?
You know exactly who walks through the door, but you have no idea who is cooking the meal, who is washing the dishes, and who is actively stealing the silverware.
That is the perfect analogy. You get identity, but zero function. And to make things worse, studying salmon guts is notoriously difficult because of the biomass problem.
Oh, right.
The gut fluid has an incredibly low cell density, maybe 10,000 to 100,000 bacterial cells per milliliter.
Which means when you try to extract the genetic material, the host tissue completely overwhelms the sample.
Right. The ratio of host genetics to microorganism genetics is often greater than 9-to-1. The bacteria are just totally drowned out by the salmon.
So if 99% of your data is just fish tissue interfering with your signal, how did the researchers actually isolate the bacteria to build this functional atlas?
Well, they used a massive, multifaceted approach. First, they cultured over 100 isolates from Norwegian farmed fish. But to bypass that 9-to-1 host contamination problem for the unculturable species, they used advanced fluorescent cell sorting.
Oh, wow. So they physically separate the cells before sequencing.
Exactly. They use a fluorescent dye that binds to the bacterial genomes, and then they run it through a machine that uses static electricity to physically pull the glowing microorganisms into a separate collection tube.
That is wild. It just leaves the uncharged salmon cells to drop straight down into the discard pile.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And that allowed them to build an atlas of over 200 high-quality bacterial genomes across wild, farmed, freshwater, and seawater habitats.
That's a huge data set.
It is. And what's fascinating here is they found 14 different orders, 35 genera, and 29 completely undescribed species.
29 brand new species. And the way these populations shift based on habitat is incredible. I mean, moving from a freshwater hatchery to a marine net pen requires huge physiological shifts. How do microorganisms handle that?
The atlas shows a fundamental shift. In freshwater, the gut is heavily dominated by high metabolic capacity bacteria. These have large genomes, so they can adapt to rapidly fluctuating energy sources. But in seawater, you see a massive influx of low-capacity specialists.
Wait, low-capacity? Why would a bacterium shrink its genetic toolkit in the ocean?
It's all about efficiency. The ocean and the adult salmon gut is a highly stable environment. So these specialists shed their excess survival genes over millions of years to save energy. They co-evolved specifically with the host to be as efficient as possible.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Having a genetic blueprint is great, but how did the scientists prove these microorganisms were actually turning on their metabolic machines inside a live fish?
They used a triangulation method. They didn't stop at the base genome. They looked at active gene expression in live fish-fed commercial diets, and they measured the metabolic exhaust when growing the bacteria in the lab.
So they looked at exactly what the microorganisms eat and what they excrete. And that brings us to some massive discoveries, like the seawater superstar, Photobacterium phosphorium.
Yeah, the data on this species is just incredible. The gene expression profiles proved it actively degrades chitin,
which is exactly what the industry needs for processing insect meals. The fish can't easily break down those. So these bacteria are breaking down sustainable commercial feeds and pumping out essential vitamins. If we connect this to the bigger picture, why should we care about the specific chemical derivatives they leave behind?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about massive physiological benefits. The metabolic exhaust included highly active amino acid derivatives, compounds that are known in many vertebrates to calm the nervous system and improve intestinal mucosal barriers,
which is huge for managing stress and preventing inflammation in high-density commercial aquaculture. And didn't they find derivatives that boost growth, too?
Yeah, they found ornithine and citrulline, which are known to directly boost fish growth and overall vitality. These microorganisms are basically providing built-in nutritional supplements.
It's an incredible biological synergy. But the ALIS also captures the realities of commercial agriculture. Because when you map genomes this comprehensively, you also map antimicrobial resistance, right?
We do. And we have to look at this impartially. The researchers mapped resistance genes, and those genes aligned perfectly with the specific therapeutic treatments historically used in Norwegian, Chilean, and Scottish aquaculture.
So the microorganisms essentially keep a microscopic ledger of human environmental impact. It's a biological record of our production practices.
Exactly. The bacteria that acquire these resistance traits simply survive and dominate the ecosystem. It's a natural evolutionary response to the environmental pressures we introduce to protect the stock.
So what does this all mean for you and the industry? This atlas isn't just a list. It's a functional map. By understanding how these specific microorganisms break down novel feeds and produce vitamins, feed producers can formulate diets that specifically fuel these beneficial bacteria, improving yield and efficiency.
It completely changes how we design commercial diets. It's precision agriculture on a microscopic scale. But I do want to leave you with one final thought.
Go for it.
We talked about how exquisitely tuned this gut ecosystem is to specific water conditions, especially those low-capacity specialists in the marine phase.
Right, the ones that rely entirely on the stability of the ocean environment.
Exactly. But with climate change rapidly altering ocean temperatures, salinity, and acidity, that baseline is shifting. If the marine environment changes faster than these highly specialized microorganisms can adapt, could these vital built-in vitamin factories just shut down entirely?
That is a terrifying thought for global food security. If the environment shifts too fast, the foundation of salmon health could just collapse. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Salmon Microbial Genome Atlas. We hope this exploration gives you some new perspectives on your feed formulations and encourages you to keep investigating the complex systems driving our industry. See you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow the Aquaculture Podcast Show on your favorite platform. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook to stay updated on the latest episodes and industry insights. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.